Welcome to Disrespect, exploring the stigma around disability, providing information and interviews to entertain and challenge listeners who care about, or care for, or may themselves have become someone with a disability. Welcome to Disrespect. First, we'll update you on the interview we had with Brian Wood and Lindsay, our ODSP client, on medical strike.
Brian, the last time we spoke, you had a new place, and something's happened in the meantime, I understand.
Yeah, Tuesday before last, a couple of friends and a small moving company moved my stuff over to the new house I was moving into. It was a great place, bungalow, no stairs, lovely retired lady. Then Thursday before last, she phoned me and she just come back from a doctor's appointment, and she has some major heart problems, so she couldn't take me in as a boarder after all.
Oh, that's too bad.
So, Steve and people that moved me on Tuesday, and this lady's son packed up all my stuff and is now sitting in Steve's garage.
I see.
Thank God for Steve and his parents in their house and garage.
For sure.
So now I'm homeless in Lindsay in the hospital.
And you have the John Howard Society looking for you. Are they still looking for you
there? Mm-hmm. But everything out there is either a basement flat or apartment or up on a second floor, which I can't do because of stairs. I need something on the main floor.
Yeah, I understand.
Like room and bathroom and kitchen and laundry facilities on the main floor.
Yeah.
Although laundry's not too much of an issue because I have a Red Cross home care worker that comes in twice a week that can do the laundry.
I appreciate your sharing this. What's happening with your stay in the hospital?
Well, this Tuesday, which is my first day at Fleming College, will be 8 weeks here. I've been in the hospital. Sure, they're as anxious to get rid of me as I am to get out of here as well, but that's going to be a problem. I think I'm going to have to probably get into some sort of group home area where I do have some sort of personal attendant care.
Is that possible?
Oh, yeah, there's a couple around. I just have to be able to get in, you know, get a referral from the doctor, which I've asked for. So
okay.
The situation with a foot is extremely aggravating because I've got six different doctors have seen the foot and the leg in the last 2 weeks, and I've got six different opinions on what to do with it.
What's the range of those opinions?
One is amputation from the knee down, one is amputation from the ankle down, ranging to just leaving alone and staying on this clindamycin antibiotic, which does seem to be doing some good as far as the swelling goes.
Right.
And it is actually doing some good on the wound on the right foot, which is becoming better looking and healing.
Man, they've given you every option in the world. No reassurance.
Right. Yeah. Plus, I discovered, besides having the cancer in the lymph glands of the lungs, they say now I have evidence of cancer in the bone marrow in the lower left leg.
Is that the one they want to take off?
Yeah. So that's adding impetus to the surgical side of the doctor saying, oh, it's time to cut it off.
Right.
But they can do bone marrow transplants, and those are highly successful nowadays, too. So.
Huh? You're very well informed.
Well, being blind, I can't read anything in a book or on the internet because I don't have my computer here anyway, so I have to usually call my pharmacist or Telehealth Ontario or, you know, the Cancer Society.
Right.
There's no gangrene society, unfortunately. But
right. How's the gangrene? Is it
stable?
Well,
at the point now, it may be brought to a halt, yeah, for now.
Anyway. All right.
And through all this, my diabetes has been totally under control without insulin, so that's another good thing.
Yeah.
I start school Tuesdays. Whether or not I'm going with my walker in an oxygen tank and a wheelchair in an oxygen tank, I don't know yet, because the school doesn't know if they've got a scooter lined up for me on Tuesday or not.
Really?
Yeah, I talked to my counselor Friday, and I said, well, has it been ordered? And his response is, well, I don't know.
Hmm.
I said, well, is it there? Well, I don't know. I said, well, thanks a lot. You're a big help. He's supposed to be my student counselor.
What, did he say anything about why he doesn't know?
To tell you the truth, and I'll be quite frank about this, I find the Fleming staff at Lindsay Cough campus are really unhelpful.
I see.
As opposed to the staff I've been dealing with at Durham College on behalf of Steve from time to time are jumping over hoops backwards to help him get himself set up. It's unbelievable. So it's hard to say even how far the school thing is going to go.
Yeah.
It'll depend on the leg and the foot and the rest of my health. was informed by my worker on Thursday that the higher-ups have done all the calculations on my ODSP.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Activity, but there's no sign of any money coming forward.
Yeah.
So I called my Ombudsman Ontario investigator, left a voicemail for her Thursday, but she never got back. Well, she may have tried to get back to me Friday. I was in and out Friday, so...
Okay.
She may get back to me sometime Tuesday after I get back from class or before I go to class.
All right.
So I don't know what's happening with that. I mean, if their calculations are done, they have all the figures, I don't know why they can't just direct deposit it to my account. I mean, they've got all the stuff they need. Doesn't make sense to me.
No.
But until people who are ordinary Joe-Blow citizens start walking down the path of people who are elderly and who are disabled
yeah.
and who are poor, nothing's going to change.
Yeah.
For sure.
Or they become, so big a fraction of the voters that some party takes a look and says, well, if we don't do something for them, we're not going to get elected.
That's right. There's not much else except keep on phoning people and bugging them. Maybe
yeah.
they'll get sick to death of hearing the phone call. It's Mr. Wood on the phone again.
Okay. I hope to hear more from you about your housing, that you have a satisfactory temporary solution.
Yeah, balancing that plus school at the same time.
When do you think you'll make a decision about the medical procedures that are...
I don't know. I'm hoping Tuesday, because I'm here in the morning.
So you're basically thinking it over on the weekend?
Yeah, hopefully.
All right. Well, let's hope you're confident of the decision that you're able to make.
I will leave you a message when I hear.
All right.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Jeff.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you again. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This week's interview on Disrespect is the first interview whose topic was chosen by a listener. Listener Brian Wood has asked us to look into discrimination against seniors, and we've chosen an issue that reflects this topic, the recent assignment of collections of Canada Pension Disability and Old Age Security, among other programs, of Social Development Canada. With us today are Communications Director Shane Dychuk from the Ministry of Finance and Queen's Counsel and Member of the Order of Canada tax lawyer Arthur Dreish from Ottawa, Dreish LLP. Both of them have different points of view. Sit back and listen. This is Disrespect.
We welcome to the show today Shane Dychuk, Director of Communications for the Ministry of National Revenue. Shane, it's in response to a column in the Post by Arthur Dreish, who is a tax lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
He's noted that since August 1st, the federal government has chosen to delegate collections of SDC accounts, which include CPP and old age pension, to Revenue Canada. And we talked about this earlier. Have you found out any more about why this decision was made?
Yeah, over the last year or so, departments that are doing similar activities are looking to put those activities under a single deputy minister in a single department, or in this case, an agency, to streamline the activities.
Right. That means if the government has the capacity to perform a task, then it wants everyone who has that task to give it to the one place where it has the capacity, in-house?
Yeah. SDC, for example, will transfer people that work under that portfolio to the Canada Revenue Agency, and they'll pursue their activities under the Canada Revenue Agency.
Oh, so you're literally reassigning personnel here, then?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so the SDC collectors will now be paid by Revenue Canada.
Right. Right now, really the only thing that's changing is the label, the stationery. What will happen over the coming year or so is that the management at CRA will be able to look at the different practices that the different departments were using and come up with best practices in order to better serve Canadians.
When you talk about best practices to better serve Canadians, you're talking about changes. What kind of changes are you talking about? A uniform practice across Canadian government collections?
There could be. Now, each act will have specific collections means written into it.
Right.
So the Income Tax Act will have certain powers for collectors to use, and the same for the CPP Act. And
well, you're not saying that they'll be the same powers.
No.
The CPP Act will have its distinct powers written into its collection capability.
Yeah. For example, a more visible change is that, let's imagine somebody didn't pay enough taxes, and that person, for one reason or another, also has an overpayment charged to them. They were overpaid on one of the programs.
Okay.
Take your pick.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't really have an ability to pay.
All right.
Now, the way it existed prior to August 1st, that person would have to deal with SDC and Revenue Canada. Now, if that person didn't really have an ability to pay, they would have to deal with the two entities separately.
Right.
In this case, then, a single agent working
right.
for the Canada Revenue Agency would look at the total ability to pay, and they would be able to look at what's equitable for these overpayments to be resolved. So really, rather than dealing with government's piecemeal, it comes together in one package.
What's equitable for somebody who's living on a pension that, let's say, half or two-thirds of the poverty line and finds out that they shouldn't have even been getting that much and that now they're obligated to repay? How do they establish what's equitable in that case? They're asking them now to live on less. The example for me is a private agency who, if the individual submitted a budget and said, this is what I live on, and this is what's at my discretion, and the private agency looks at it and says, this guy hasn't got anything and we can't garnish his wages, let's put this one in the cooler until his income improves or until it gets so stale we have to
write
it off.
And someone who is at subsistence level, there are all kinds of options that the revenue agency can employ. The idea is to avoid a situation where someone is having to choose between buying their groceries and paying their taxes.
Right.
There's no power for the revenue agency to forgive a tax debt.
Right.
But there certainly is power under the fairness provisions to forgive penalties and interest.
Uh-huh. And,
you know, the arrangement could be that, you know, well, if you owe $100 but you really can't afford anything, you pay us. I mean, it can be as little as, you know, pay us $1 a month.
Yeah.
And that's something that, you know, if that happens to be reasonable from both sides,
right,
then that's an avenue that's pursued.
All right.
If the debt's deemed uncollectible,
right,
it's basically put into a file where it's no further action is taken.
Right.
But if circumstances were to change and money starts coming in again to that individual, then the file is reactivated.
Okay. I know that Revenue Canada has the power to oversee the resources of any individual in Canada simply by flagging the tapes that their banks send in under their social security number. Will this be a power that now accrues to SDC as well?
It actually was. It always has been a power of SDC.
Okay.
They've been able to do that. Now, what Revenue Canada won't do
right. Is
that they won't garnish social program benefits.
They will not.
For tax debt.
All right.
I mean, the tax debt exists, and there may be situations where if financial means allow it, then they can withhold some of these benefits. But that would have to be means tested and agreed to, and it would have to look, you know, the fairness provisions would be taken into account.
So, in fact, they would, under circumstances to be determined by them, they would garnish social benefits such as old age pension or CPP.
And that would be case by case. I mean, I can't give you a specific
example.
You know, some people have, you know, higher costs than others.
Okay.
It sounds like it could be a difficult venture, but Revenue Canada, you know, the Canada Revenue Agency, is really working hard to make interactions with them as pleasant as they can be. Of course, it's an unpleasant subject, and no one wants to be on the wrong side of a debt with the government. But coming in and dealing with it early is really the best way. It's really important to, if you think that Revenue Canada is doing something that's unfair, it's
mm-hmm.
really important to tell them you think this is unfair. Of course, if you do owe the money, then the law demands that you pay the money.
All right. Thank you for your time today, Shane.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye.
And now we'll take a short break with the blues.
New Orleans. They say there's two kind of people in the world, the day people and the night people. And it's the night people's job to get the day people's money. Nighttime is when I come around. Nighttime is when I come round. I get right when the sun goes down. Nighttime is when the neon comes on. Nighttime is when the neon comes on. When the sun goes down, it's when we shake 'em on.
Back to our interview in progress.
We welcome to the show today Arthur Dresch, member of the Order of Canada, Queen's Council, and founding partner of Dresch LLP in Ottawa. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Dresch has written a column in the National Post about the assignment of collection of debt under SDC, Social Development Canada, to the Canada Revenue Agency. Mr. Dresch, this seems to be a retrograde step in your view.
Yes, it is. First of all, in terms of my experience, I've been in practice for in excess of 30 years, and most of that time has been a tax practice. And so I've had dealings with Revenue Canada and CRA and all the different names they go under for a long time.
Right.
Over the years, I have to say that, generally speaking, the quality of people in the agency has improved tremendously, and their dealings with the public have improved. The one area where I certainly have not seen any particular improvement, and my colleagues tend to agree with me, is in the area of collections.
Oh.
The basic thing is, of course, is tax collectors are tax collectors, and
with unlimited power.
That's right. Their purpose is to get money which they believe is owing from taxpayers, and they're not particularly gentle about it. it's quite common, for example, for them to go after a business person, and the individual says, well, you know, if I got to pay all of this right away, I'm probably going to go bankrupt. And to which the response often is, go bankrupt. We don't care. We'll still get our money. I had a case, a friend of my wife who phoned just 10 days or so ago, and she was absolutely in tears because of the phone calls she had from the collections people, whom she said were rude and threatening.
Right.
Being rude and threatening isn't CRA's policies.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is that the collections people are tough.
Right.
And it's not an easy job. I mean, let's be honest.
Right.
The problem, as I perceive it, with the new arrangement is that among their expanded duties, if you will be to collect unpaid student loans and overpaid Canada Pension Plan and OAS.
Yeah.
The problem, as I perceive it's going to develop, is that you are letting loose on these people, the professional collectors from the CRA, who are very, very tough people indeed. I mean, part of it is you know, what people refer to as the corporate culture, if you were. The approach that is that would normally be taken by Revenue Canada collectors in dealing with a delinquent taxpayer probably, in the vast majority of cases, is not appropriate to two quite different situations. And what I'm really concerned about is that if the CRA guys use the same techniques on people who have student loans, for example,
mm-hmm.
or conversely, older people who got overpaid on their CPP or their OAS, you're going to see some very, very unhappy individuals whose first contact, in the case of the young ones, with the tax people will be extremely negative.
That's true.
And that's really what my concern is. I'm not sure that this was a particular agency that should be in charge of collecting from the young people.
Well, I'm not sure that they should be in charge of collecting from the old people, too, because the...
Well, that's another matter, because a lot of hardship situations there.
Yeah, well, because the nature of my show is disability issues, I had a picture of a $10,000 or $12,000 a year disability or old age pensioner told that they've been getting too much money and that now they have to get less.
Well,
and out of that, they have to pay back the overpayment.
Well, when you talk about disabled people, you've got a whole different thing because, of course, what you often have in these cases, and I've seen many of them, is they claim medical expenses, which they consider to be legitimate.
Right.
And then along comes revenue and says, look, you're not allowed to deduct this, that, or the other.
Yep.
And suddenly, whereas they thought they didn't owe anything, they suddenly discover that they owe, according to the tax people,
yep.
$6,000 or $7,000,
yeah.
which they simply don't have.
Right.
So that's an additional issue. The question of disability, people who are disabled or have very heavy medical expenses, has always been a contentious matter with regard to the deductibility of their outlays.
Right.
You see a lot of cases with those people who believe that they paid their full tax bill and then suddenly get hit between the eyes with a $4,000 or $5,000 bill because some of their medical expenses have been disallowed.
Right. Well, and now we have the situation where they may have unknowingly been overpaid, and they're going to be talking to the same people.
That's right. I mean, the thing is, and I got to say, in all fairness, you know, revenue's got policies in place, you know, which are designed, you know, to give some relief. And there's actually provision would say that, you know, in hardship cases, they can forgive the interest and so on. But there's a big difference between what the policies that are in place and the people at head office in Ottawa are well aware of and what's happening in the trenches.
Right.
That's where the difference is.
And why
so that
is
if that? If you talk to a very senior revenue guy, you know, and I make these comments about the collections guy, their first reaction is, no, they won't do that. They can't do that because we have these broad policies in place. But that doesn't translate into the trenches. this is just a fact of life. And you see it particularly in the tax field, where, you know, if you're immersed in the minutiae of the Income Tax Act, and then you find some relatively low-level auditor goes ahead and says your client owes a bunch of tax, and it turns out that he doesn't.
Yep.
He's not aware of the rulings. He's not aware of the exceptions. He's not aware of this, that. And, you know, you end up, you can spend a year or two trying to get this kind of thing cleaned up.
You know, the costs aren't reimbursed by Revenue Canada.
No, your costs aren't reimbursed.
No,
I mean,
no.
You're fighting with your own money, believe me. they're fighting with your money, and
yeah.
You're fighting with your money.
Yeah. Well, it's a shame to see pensioners, disabled people, and students put in this position.
Yeah, well, it happens with unfortunate regularity.
Mm-hmm. Are these collectors, do they work on an incentive basis, do you know?
It's interesting. There has always been allegations that the auditors and collectors have an incentive. The government swears up and down that this isn't true.
Right.
And, I mean, I'm not going to call the government a bunch of liars, but you know, presumably, in measuring how well somebody performs a job as an auditor or as a collector, their superiors at least take a look at how successful they are.
Of course.
And success is measured, presumably, by how much you collect. So that it's probably absolutely true that there are no quotas and so on.
Right.
But at the same time, the practicalities of promotion and so on depend upon success.
Yes. Okay. How do you think the public is responding to this? It seems a risky thing for a government to do when they're in a minority position.
You know, the government, I think, perhaps hasn't really thought it through. So there's a bit of a disconnect between those who make the decisions and those who are in the trenches.
That's true. Is there anything else that you would like to say to someone listening?
If you're faced with a real tough collector from revenue, it's often worthwhile going and talking to a tax lawyer or a tax accountant who, even if he can't solve, you know, your debt problem, has got experience in dealing with the collections people.
Right.
Because very often when you've got somebody who's had a level of experience, they can deal with the collection side of revenue much better than any individual.
Probably
right. Of course, you know, there aren't that many who are going to do it just as a favor because they think you're cute.
No. No, but I hear you.
You know, in some cases, the individual may be able to solve the problem themselves. But in very tough cases, it may be necessary to talk to a professional.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Drayson. I appreciate your time with us today. The interview will appear on radioforall.net sometime in the next week.
Okay. Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Disrespect's interviews are digitally edited from live studio or telephone sessions for the half hour that we share with our listeners. We're out of time for outgoing music on Disrespect this week, but we invite your responses and suggestions to the show at radio.stories@gmail.com. radio.stories@gmail.com.